You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in what's going to be a chilly Ocala, Florida.
Oh, wow.
We're getting into the 20s tonight.
Oh, it was 23 last night. Shut up. I'm Jamie Jennings from Norman, Oklahoma. By the way, it's way colder and like everywhere else. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network from Monday, November 10th, the episode 3815, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
Well, thank you for joining us on this chilly Monday morning across the country. There's an Arctic freeze hitting the East Coast, and some snow. So enjoy your winter weather. It's officially started now. And we had to get a new blanket for Scooter. I posted a picture in the auditor room. They're always asking him for Scooter updates. There's your Scooter update. He's shaved because of his
cushions.
Eczema problem. So we have to keep him shaved to put wound medicine on all of his spots. So he had to get new blankets. He had destroyed last year's. So he looked very cute in his little red Weatherbeater blanket. And he's going to wear it tonight because we're supposed to get to 21 tonight in Ocala, which is unheard of. All our flowers are still blooming like crazy. That'll be done tonight.
Bye.
Comedian Robert Urban is going to join us today, and we answer some questions for his new equestrian book. He's not an equestrian. He's writing an equestrian book.
Sure he's going to totally listen to what we say.
Auditor Mel joins us, and Jamie and Mel compete in a brand new headlines game that I put together, and we have some random horsey talk for you on this Monday, and we'll do a post show for you too, although I have no idea what that's about. So, I got a good news story for you. Get this. And this never happens to those of us that own acreage. How many acres do you have? 20, 30 acres out there?
18.5.
And we have 5 acres here, and we've had farms with 100 acres in our past. But this has never happened to us. A man earlier this year discovered a gold treasure worth $800,000 while digging a swimming pool in his garden in France. He found 5 gold bars and many gold coins buried in plastic bags. So he got all these gold bars and all these coins. They had pictures of them. It literally worth $800,000. And in France, this is the law. Ownership of a treasure belongs to the one who finds it on their own property. So no matter who buried it there, this dude gets to keep it.
Not the law here.
How come is it we never find that? When we moved here at this property that was undeveloped, it was all trees, we found one kid's shoe in the middle of the forest in the back. One kid's shoe.
Nice.
We found all kinds of random beer bottles, beer cans, and things like that. Oh, I've never found anything good at any of our farms. Have you ever found anything good?
I'm thinking about the 5 gold bars and many coins, but they were buried in plastic bags. So plastic hasn't been around forever. This should be fairly easily traceable.
You know, I was thinking, you're right. See, I was thinking with somebody during World War II when the Nazis came, that they were hiding their treasure from the Nazis, but it wouldn't have been plastic bags back then.
This is stolen.
Were there any paintings from the Louvre in there? Was there jewelry? Could have been that. So today, just out of random thing, I was using Gemini AI for a couple other things, and I said, I'm going to ask him what the top horse podcasts are. And this is what it gave me, the top highest rated equestrian podcasts. And this is how it determined it. The list compiles the most popular and highly rated equestrian podcasts based on listener engagement, reviews, and frequency of recent episodes. And you want me to start from number 10 and go to number 1?
I mean, okay, so hold on. This is your computer.
This is Gemini AI.
Gemini AI. So you're asking it. Okay, let's hear it. Are we on the list?
Number 10, the Horse and Hound podcast. Number 9, Equa Ratings Eventing podcast. 8, Daily Strides podcast for equestrians. I don't know that one.
Are you promoting all the new other podcasts that compete against us?
No. Number 7, Horsemanship Radio, Debbie's show.
Hey!
Number 6, The Humble Hoof. Alicia's show. So two there that are on the Horse Radio Network. Number five, the Plaidcast, which used to be on the Horse Radio Network. Number four, Heels Down Happy Hour, also Horse Radio Network. Number three, Straight from the Horse Doctor's Mouth. We know that one.
Good one.
Number two, Train Your Own Horse with Stacy Westfall, who used to be on our show. And number one horse podcast, according to Gemini, is Horses in the Morning. Now, I would expect that because if it went by listener engagement and reviews and frequency of episodes, then we would win, right? So, because we have tremendous listener engagement. We have really good reviews. And we put out a lot of episodes. Yeah, we really do. We have a lot of good reviews. So, there you go. We're number one. We say, Chad says that at the beginning of every show. So, I guess, he's right.
That is my husband, by the way. He says, you're listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. That is my husband.
He's we always just guy. Said that, figuring we were. Now I have proof. So I feel better now.
I mean, if AI says it, it's totally
right.
True.
It's true. That's correct. It sounds like you're not believing it. We have no auditor birthdays today, so congratulations to Auditor Samantha on her new horse. She announced she got a new horse from an auction. Apparently, it's a 9-ish-year-old Arabian. It's unknown if she's registered because it came from one of those auctions, and she kind of saved this horse.
Aww,
so good for you.
You,
Samantha, and we wish you good luck with your new horse. She's the side saddle rider that we always have on the show. So,
oh, cool.
So we wish her good luck with her new horse that she got at the auction.
Oh, you're a hot mess today.
I got the wrong buttons today. How about that one?
There's butters. Okay, so we did something over the weekend, and we've been trying to do this for quite some time. We've done it twice now, which is where you go to the the animal shelter, which is Norman Animal Welfare here. And twice now we've taken a dog home, and they do like a 36-hour bring the dog home, and if you keep it, great, but if not, you fill out forms about the dog's personality and you give them a lot more information to go on. So I really enjoyed doing that because you take a dog home and you test it out and you see what it thinks about other dogs and children and animals and chickens and all that. And unfortunately, we've returned both dogs, not keeping them, which was our goal, but at least we were able to help them a little bit. But on Thursday night, Norman Animal Welfare posted that there was two stray dogs that were just picked up and would be available for adoption Friday morning. And they're border collies.
Oh, no. You were there when it opened, weren't you?
Well, we had to do our show. And I showed Chad. I was like, hey, so these guys are at Norman Animal Welfare and they just became adoptable this morning. And he was like, okay, let's go. I mean, I think he's cheating on me. He must be cheating on me. Why else would... Okay, we've been looking for a dog for Lucas. So, and he was in school. But I said, these guys will not last if we wait till school. I was like, let's go get him out of school. And Chad's like, no. He has a chest. We're not taking our kid out of school to go to the pound. So we go to the pound, and there was a male and a female that they had showed the pictures of, and Chad was immediately like the male dog. So we walk into the shelter, and I said, hi, y'all posted some border collies on Facebook, and oh, yeah, there's only one left. I mean, people were waiting outside this place for the dogs. But the female was adopted, and we walked in, and I looked at the male. Oh, my God, that's our dog. Like, without a doubt. We put a leash on him and took him out to the little play area, and he did not want to play. He just sat and buried his head into my chest. Aww. Get me out of here. Please get me out of here. So I just looked at Chad, and I said, what are we? I'm like... this is it. This is 100% our dog. And then Chad's like, well, let me see him. And he immediately turned and buries his head into Chad's chest.
Oh, that was it. He knew.
Smart dog. He said, okay, let's go. So we walked out to the reception with him. I said, hey, guys, I would like to do the 36-hour, meet and greet kind of thing. And she said, no, he's not available for that. There is a long list of people that have been calling and emailing. And so we are not interested in doing that. We want to just get him adopted. And I looked at Chet and I said, well, we'll take him. So I brought him home.
Praying.
And, yeah, praying. So we bring the dog home, and he's a little male border collie. They said he's around 2. I don't know if he's that old or not. He seems probably like more like 10 months, you know. But he comes here, and we put him in the backyard, and I introduce Homer, and he immediately is like, hey, dude. But nobody hates Homer. Everybody loves Homer the Basset Hound. Then I brought out Winx, the other crackhead. This is actually our first ever purebred border collie. We have what I call junkyard border collies, which are like, they're mostly border collies. So brought the other two out, and they all got along great. And so I had the torture of waiting for Lucas to get home from school to introduce him to his new dog. And so Lucas came in, and I started crying. He walked in the door. I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, we got a dog, didn't we?
He knew.
So I walk him outside, and he meets the dog, who, by the way, is a male that had been neutered the day before. So he got neutered Thursday, put up for adoption on Friday, was found as a stray with the female. And he went outside and sat down with him, and the dog just totally snuggled. It was just the cutest, adorable relationship immediately. And the dog has been sleeping. All he wanted was a dog to sleep in bed with him, because everybody sleeps in bed with me. And so far every night the dog goes upstairs with him and goes in the house. He named him Link, which is the guy from one of those video games. He named him Link. And so Link is now Lucas's shadow. So we spent the whole weekend with him. I do not understand why anybody would have not tried desperately to find this dog. He is amazing on the farm, totally respectful to the horses, chickens. When they were gone, I went to the barn yesterday, and he just sat in the barn aisle and laid down and just watched me. Amazing with all
That's
the horses,
really weird
chickens,
for a yellow
dogs.
Dog like that, you know?
Will not. I don't know how he, quote, ran away, because I couldn't pay this dog to leave. Go get. No. So he's super good. And so I've talked to a trainer, and we're going to have a training session this week. I want Lucas to learn how to train him. So I've got a trainer that comes to the house. And what he said was a lot of people dump high energy border collies, you know, so they were found just on the like a main road. So he said that most likely somebody opened the door and kicked them both out, which is just, there's a special place in hell for people that do that. So, but he's here. His sister got adopted to a farm, we found out, and then he got adopted to our farm, and he's just fantastic. The problems that we have had is he was just neutered, so he's marking. Like in the house, not okay. So he's marking a little bit, and he is tremendously terrified of if you put a leash on him and he feels any sort of tug around his neck or anything. So
we know what happened, you know.
I know, yeah. Right? And if you raise your hand too fast, he cowers. So we're gonna do some training to work on.
Oh,
some
we've
of those
had
things.
Horses like that.
plenty of them.
Yeah,
plenty of them. So
and you
I'm
do have a thing
excited.
For black and white dogs too, by the way.
It's just the border collie thing. They're so smart. And then I have to have a basset hound to counteract the craziness.
It's true.
I'm a very yin and yang facility here.
You know, and he just was neutered, so he might wake up a little too.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. But if we can get a lot of the training done immediately now, because he just doesn't have any training at all. So if we can start to rein that in, I'm just so excited that I found this guy who's going to come to our house and is really, really respectful and nice and positive reinforcement training for the dogs. So I'm really excited to have that happen. And that we have a new family member.
Lucas. Yay.
Yeah. He's so excited. And the dog, I don't know what is wrong with Chad. So my dogs have never been allowed in the house, never on the bed. All of a sudden I've got Homer has a bed at my foot, and then Winx sleeps in the bed. And now he's letting this dog. I come in and the dog's sitting on the couch with Lucas, and Chad didn't say a word. And he always yells at me for letting Homer on the couch. I don't know. It's shenanigans going on. I don't know what it is.
He's just getting old and tired of fighting.
Did I break him?
At some point, we just get tired. And, you know, you have to pick your battle. And you know the old pick your battles thing? The battles just get further and further away as you get older. And you're just going, oh, it's not even worth thinking about a battle.
You just give up. You know, when you bring your wife. Okay. So as a woman, if a man brings their wife home flowers randomly, we think they're cheating on us. What did you do? What did you do? That's kind of how I feel with this. I'm like, what did you do? Why is this okay? Why is all of this okay? It doesn't make any sense, but it is what it is. I don't even care. We got the dog.
Yeah, take the win.
I'm going to take the win.
Just good take point. It. Don't analyze it. Speaking of Lucas, I saw, congratulate him for me. I saw he did his first tennis tournament.
He did. He did. A sign of resiliency is he tried to make the tennis team last year at school and he didn't make it. And he has buckled down and he goes to tennis lessons at the University of Oklahoma, which is about 10 minutes away, goes to tennis lessons 3 days a week. And he has lost weight. He looks like a fit preteen now.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, and so his he had his first tennis tournament. It was about an hour away, so we get up on a Sunday morning, which, by the way, we're awesome parents. Just wanted to throw that up.
Did you sit and watch the tennis tournament?
The whole day! And
my parents never came and watched one tennis match.
Oh, we watched the whole thing, and there was three matches. The first one, he battled and lost in a tiebreaker. I mean, it was his first tournament. I didn't even know he knew the rules.
And to lose in a tiebreaker sucks.
Sucks. But then he won the next two, so he came in second in the tournament, which was very cool. And I just watched him run and run and run and run. I'm like, whose kid is this? And he just loved it. I expected him to be like, that is too much work. I don't want to do that again. And then he gets in the car. He's like, when's the next one? It's like, wow, that's so cool. I was really excited.
All right,
excited
next time we come out, I'll bring my tennis racket.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good.
We'll disappear for a day and you don't have to worry about us. We'll be out playing tennis.
I love it.
He'll beat me because I haven't played in like 20 years. But
do tournaments pay money?
Only when you get to be a pro. And then, then you might make a little. It's like horses that way.
Well, I was going to say, I have two vets coming today. So I'm curious, is like, can he help me pay the bills?
In 20 years, maybe, if he keeps it up and takes lessons 10 times a week, which has just now cost you $1 million.
You think, I mean, that is crushing because you, as a parent, are not allowed to talk to them. It's fantastic.
Oh, no, you're not allowed to talk to them. You're not allowed to coach them. Oh, if you yell anything that's remotely coaching, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're in big trouble. So it was very cool because you have to sit there and be respectful, but it is so hard to watch your child go out there by themselves and like face adversity like that. And you can't even help. Like throw the ball higher when you're serving. I just wanted to yell. I don't even know that much about tennis, but I knew enough to coach him, which they won't let me do.
And there's a reason he's not taking lessons from his mom.
That's why you hire people to coach your kids.
I played for well into my late 30s. I played actively and loved tennis. And then I don't know why I quit. This job and horses, I guess.
Yeah.
I did love tennis, though. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited for him. Good job. Tell him when he does his first pro match, I'm going to come watch.
Okay, well, hopefully that'll be in about 6 months because Mama needs some money.
All right, why don't you talk to us about worm flooring, and then I have an announcement about holiday week.
With winter on the way, your trailer will have some downtime, unless you're in Florida. A good time to get some worm flooring. Traditional floors in trailers, barns, workshops, they take a beating, they crack, they leak, they collect dust like nobody's business, and those temporary fixes never last. Introducing the revolutionary solution, worm flooring. You guys, I have it in my trailer and in my barn floor, and I love everything about it. Worm flooring is a sealed system that's easy to clean and maintain. No more backbreaking scrubbing, plus it's slip resistant, keeping you safe and sound. And unlike other options, worm flooring is built to last. Liquids, no problem. Worm flooring protects your floor and keeps it looking beautiful for years to come. I have had to correct the dog who started marking the worm flooring in my barn. Get out! Don't settle for a floor that's a constant hassle. Invest in Wurm Flooring today and train your dog. Visit wurmflooring.com. That's WERM flooring.com to learn more and transform your space. The solution for a beautiful floor, your barn, trailer, and more, Wurm Flooring.
Well, the nice thing is when he does mark your Wurm Flooring, you just hose it off. So
it's, nice. It's true. And I mean, I already have chickens that walk through the barn that just poop right and left. I'm like, get off my floor!
So we have a very special announcement for Holiday Week, which is coming up the first week of December. This is kind of our replacement to Radiothon. Jamie and I are going to do three of our episodes, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The first week of December is going to be our Holiday Week, and we're going to do a lot of the things that we've done during Radiothon will be done during that week. And one of those things is to have some very special guests. And we talked about it. We decided that this year we wanted to make it comedy because it's been a very stressful year for a lot of people with jobs and just life in general. So we thought, let's just make this a little lighter than normal. I mean, not like Radiothon was ever heavy, but it is going to be very light this year because we decided that we're going to invite three of our favorite horsey comedians on the show, and we've confirmed all of them. So we have, I can never remember how she says this, Poughkeepsies?
We call her Sydney. Everybody calls her Sydney.
Yeah, Sydney's going to be on, Sydney Steverson. She's been on our show before, and everybody knows her. And she's going to come on and talk about the holidays and horses with us. Maxie Wittrick, who was on our show earlier this year, who's truly funny. She's the one from California, and she's very excited about coming
on.
She's
the horse stand-up comedian. Yes. Talking about horse girls.
And she's excited to come on. And then a brand new one to our show, Hayden Crystal. I put out a vote on the auditor room for who they wanted to see as horse comedians on the show, and Hayden got the most votes.
Chicken nugget.
So she's coming on the show too. So all three of them are going to be on our show. They're going to be our main guests that week. We'll also have some guests that are talking about arts that they do, different. Some of them do jewelry, some do other things. So we'll have different guests talking about things that you can actually get for your loved ones for Christmas. Although just tell your husband you want Wurm Flooring. Just tell him Wurm Flooring.
Oh, yes.
It might be something he actually understands. So you might get it. So do that. So definitely do that. We're still looking for voicemails. They are due by the 21st. I will put a link in the show notes to where you can submit your voicemails, or you can go to our website at horseradionetwork.com, click on the voicemail banner on the right side of the page and just talk. And you can, or sing. You can sing or talk your poems or your songs into there. I'm putting together a substantial pile of prizes, too. I didn't think we'd have many prizes this year, but I've got a pile of prizes. We probably have about $3,000 worth of prizes.
Dang.
And you're going to get extra entries if you actually do a voicemail. So definitely do that. And I'll also put a link and a reminder in our storefront. And I'll put our next guest's books in there, too. Well, Jamie, I booked our next guest because I saw a post on the Ocala Equestrian Facebook page, and he started out with, "Hey, folks, I'm Robert Urban, comedy writer, humor columnist, and proud owner of way too many typewriters and not enough horse knowledge." And then he asked the horse community for some answers because apparently he's putting together a book that's set in the equestrian world, but he's not an equestrian himself, so we're going to welcome Robert Urban. Hey, Robert.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I thought later on we'd answer those questions for you that you put to the horse community, and you'll get our kind of warped version. Will that help?
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, Robert, you have property here in Ocala, right?
That's correct. So it's still land for now, but even a little bit north of up in DeLand, closer to Daytona Beach. And my wife is a high school teacher, but she's also a certified mental health counselor. And one of the things that she did was she did equine therapy.
Well, I wanted to ask you, when I looked up how many books you've done a lot of books. And obviously all of them are comedy books. Most of them are comedy books.
Most of them, or at least I try to be comedy. So, but you know, like anything, we get better. So there's some people of, oh, I love your stuff. And then they go back and they're like, your early stuff wasn't as good. And, you know, you as a writer, you sort of find your voice. And I had a really strong success in my first book of, I'm not a writer. I'm not an English major. You know, I was never waxing poetic or anything. It was actually just something that I decided to do sort of hey, let me write this. People say that I'm a funny person. And I submitted it to 300 different publishers, crickets, zero interest whatsoever. And I said, well, I'll just self-publish this thing and see how it goes with literally zero expectations. I hope my mom would buy a copy, but even then she expected a free copy. But I launched it on my own, and it became an Amazon bestseller in the family category. It was 101 awesome things to do with your child, and just some really interesting ways to teach lessons and values and morality and fun stuff. And number one in the family category for 9 straight months. And when something's in the top position, it shows. And so it's sort of a self-feeding cycle. People buy it more and more. And I made more money from my book royalties than I did in a senior position in a marketing advertising job. And I said, I'm just going to write books the rest of my life. So done well.
Well, congratulations on that. I mean,
thank you.
That's not easy to do. And I'm excited that it actually works for some people. And there's two titles that I wanted to bring up of your books, and you know which ones I'm going to bring up. One is Lick the Spoon. What is Lick the Spoon about? That's the title of his book.
Of course. So that is a... It's a lesson that my grandmother used to give me. She was a big baker, and we'd be in the kitchen. And I was just a little kid, and I'd be complaining about, you know, the absolute worst thing that could ever happen to a human being of, you know, the person didn't like you, or they were mean to you, or you fell off your bike or whatever. And she wouldn't give me, you know, this life advice or anything, you know, but she would like, well, sorry about that. You know, I'm making cake, lick the spoon. And so as I got older and life got more complex, and you actually dealt with real issues, she would always send me a mail. And then eventually, before she passed, she was, you know, very tech savvy for her age. She would even send me a text literally with the letters LCS, just lick the spoon. And what she meant by that, and how our little interpretation was, no matter what happens in life, there's always some sort of silver lining, or there's always something good that you can look at into. And so that's sort of the crux of the book of, hey, here's a bunch of different stories from my life, some great, some hilarious, some bad, but there's always something that you can do. So the last time that I talked, someone was like, well, it's not really funny, it's more inspirational. I was like, well, I was really trying it to be funny too. So I think it's mixed how people do it, but ultimately and underlined, it's, you know, in the worst possible situation, there's still good of people that are helping. There's things that can be seen, and just a positive attitude and outlook on that there's things that'll get better.
Well, I'm not going to have you explain this one. We'll let everybody go find it for themselves. Bitches love cheddar biscuits.
and other facts of life.
Yes. We're going to let everybody go find that one for themselves.
I think that is my only book that I learned early on that people buy the book based on the cover and the title. And many people that have bought that have never even opened it. They just bought it just for the sort of shock value to have it on their coffee table or in their bathroom or whatever. And that is still my number one requested book for people to put on just for, hey, people just love the title, and, you know, they'll send it to their friends or family as a joke or buy it for people. So that's obviously the reason why I wrote it.
What you didn't know is you could have left all the pages blank in the middle and still sold the books.
Yeah, I would have saved a heck of a lot of time writing that, wouldn't I?
All right, let's get to your post. So you posted because you're writing a book that's set in the equestrian world?
Yeah, so actually it's Write What You Know, right? So I typically write a bunch of stories, and my next book is going to be Florida specific of, you know, I'm a fairly popular writer with a social media following, and I write like really what's called long form comedy of posts that aren't, you know, one or two paragraphs. It's like pages and pages of my thoughts and ideas. And you're like, oh, it's too long. But then, yeah, thousands of people share it and like it. And I write like the origins of Florida Man. You know, it's like a ghost story where you have to, you know, summon them with Marlboro Reds and, you know, saying Florida 3 times in the mirror, things like that. And, you know, how to deal with cold and identifying snowbird. But all this it's, you know, I'm a very specifically Southern writer. You know, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida are sort of my wheelhouse of what I know. And so when I moved to Florida, I had a lot of friends that were into horses or had farms. And then especially with my wife being interested in equine therapy and us having a decent property and getting older to where, you know, the kids only have a few more years in school, it's something that, hey, maybe we'll get a horse on our own. And so as someone who knows nothing about horses, But I got two pre saddles off of Facebook Marketplace, and this was actually the kickoff of the idea. Of someone was like, "Hey, this is a saddle," and I was like, "Oh, this is beautiful." And in my mind, I was like, "Oh, maybe I'll make like something a cool chair for my garage, or you know something." And so I posted and I wrote about how thrift shopping has changed and how someone was so awesome they gave me this. I said, "So if anyone has a horse, you know, spurs, horse riding lessons and everything else to augment my saddle, then I'll definitely take those as well." And of course, you had someone that was like, "Well, why don't you work and earn those?" I was like, "This is a comedy page. I don't think anyone was actually thinking it was serious." But yeah,
wait. Are you trying to tell me that there are random people on social media that just comment on your stuff like in a rude way without knowing the full story?
Yeah, but
that never happened.
You just triggered never. Jamie.
And what happens is that they will not respond to any good post or anything like that, but they will take the time just to be something, which actually sparked one of my other posts. I said, "Hey, the only reason that someone would write something negative online is one of three reasons. They're an alien that doesn't understand like nuance. They're an English speaker of other language that are idioms and some of the ways that we talk can be complicated and we just need to explain it to them. Or they're a troll." And this is how you identify the elements of a troll. And you know, what's funny is how many people type "too long, didn't read" of my aforementioned long post. And I'm like, "But you took the time to write that?" Or, you know, and Jamie, it could be the most, you know, a 5-year-old singing the national anthem and just, you know, patriotic and would make your average good person just, you know, "Oh, that's beautiful." Someone's like, "Oh, she was out of pitch and tune, you know, horrible." I was like, "Come on." Yes, the fun of the internet.
Yes, so it's so fun.
So as I continued the story of, I was like, I don't know anything about horses. And so that laid the foundation of an idea of typically my stories are all episodic of, you know, "Oh, did I ever tell you about the time this happened?" sort of stuff. And, you know, 20 or 30 collections of, you know, whatever. But I'm going to be writing a novel about someone new to Florida who has no experience of quote unquote country living. But the woman that he loves gets a horse. And so them both learning, you know, almost of like the movie We Inherited a Farm, but this is country style Florida living and all the sweet tea and mason jars and God bless you. And
is this your like life story? I mean, come on, give it to me real. Is this you? Are you writing about you? Are you trying to get tips for yourself?
Yes, absolutely. So the, okay. I've learned some of the more gross things about horses as well that we have to endure. So
well, then we're going to start with your first question. You said, "What's something only horse people understand that makes everyone else look at you like you've lost it when you try and explain it?" And I have the answer for that: sheath cleaning. That one right there, that just, nothing else needs to be said. We've done whole episodes on that. So
I quit explaining it to non-horse people. Honestly, it's just uncomfortable. And they look at you like you're like some sort of pedo or something, some pervy something or other. And like, no, you know what? Fine. Okay. I quit.
Yeah. That was probably the most educational part of all of the posts. And the fantastic people, they also send me private messages of, "Hey, if you ever want to come out and, you know, experience a horse farm or do this, you know, I'd love to have you, or, you know, come have coffee with us. We talk about horses all the time." But the amount of private messages that I got about sheath cleaning was very heartwarming of the horse community being so gracious. And now I know way too much about horses. So
I don't know if it's heartwarming to get private messages about washing wieners.
Okay? Yeah,
I don't think that's heartwarming. I think that's disturbing. But, you know, tomato, tomato.
Right. I think it was all in the tone. Like, no one was like, "Hey, this is my favorite thing to do. Come on out and join me."
Although, I call her the Winky Washer. She does that professionally. That's all she does. And she lives over near you, actually. So if you ever want to talk to somebody who does that for a living, I'll get you her name.
Thank you.
She was just here.
I see her vehicle brand wrap and a logo. You know, "I'm the Winky Washer." Like, how do you establish in the cotillion? That's not, they don't teach you how to introduce that to society.
She's been on the show. She's a lot of fun. All right. Second one. Jamie, you want to take this one?
What's the funniest thing you've seen a non-horse person do around a horse? I lived in Atlanta and had multiple boyfriends that I would run through the barn. You know, you got to take the boy out and see what they do. And I broke up with a guy immediately after he got out of the car, which was a paved parking lot. Okay. And this moron ended up wearing white sneakers. And he gets out of the car and he holds his pants legs like up, like, you know, if you reach down, you grab the fabric at your knees and you pull them up, and he walked around on his tippy toes. And I was like, what are you doing? And he said, well, I don't want to get poop on me. It's not cat poop. It's just recycled grass. I don't know. I was like, we're done.
That was
it. That's it. It's over.
Look, strike one, white after Labor Day, and strike two, everything else that you just mentioned. So
you got it. Too much.
Hey, just a funny aside real quick. I'm friends with the owner of a company called Florida's Eden, and he knows more about environmental pest control, ornamental lawn than anybody, and a very close friend of mine. And he comes over to my last house and proud of it the first time. And he goes, Rob, no offense, man, but your backyard really smells like poop. And I said, well, yeah, man. I said, I've been collecting all of my dog's poop and, you know, putting his fertilizer into plants. He's like, why? I'm like, well, isn't like poop like great fertilizer? He's like, aren't you an environmental scientist? He's like ruminant poop of like things that, you know, like pigs and chickens and, you know, some of the others. He goes, you just been collecting dog crap for no reason. And so I had to educate myself on the benefits of certain kind of things for
you. And but yeah, you were joking. You really did that.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. Okay. And you know,
you win the gross award for the day. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Jamie would have broke up with me. She's like, you're an idiot. Yeah. I'm out. See you later.
It's over between us.
Go get your white shoes and go back to South Carolina, right, pal.
Well, let me test you on this one, okay? Because it says, what's an unspoken rule of barn life that everyone seems to know, but no one says out loud? So imagine you're in my barn with me, and I walk into a stall and I close the door behind me. What am I doing?
You're making sure that the horse is comfortable with you, and I was always told, no matter where you go, close the door behind you. So
I'm going to pee. So just don't look over the edge of the stall. I'm gonna pee in the stall. So if you see me walk into the stall and close the door behind me, just stay away. Just avoid it.
We all pee in the stall. So that's the unspoken rule, is, you know, when somebody goes in the stall and they shut the door and you hear the tinkling sound, that's the rule.
That's me.
It's true.
Not a horse.
All horse that's people everywhere.
I got kicked out of the Y the other day for peeing in the pool, and the lifeguard's like, hey, no peeing in the pool. I'm like, everyone does it. He goes, they're usually in the pool.
There you go.
All right. What's the one thing you wish writers or movies would get right about horses? And this is a pet peeve of ours. We've been talking about it for 4,000 episodes. And it won't apply to writers, but it applies to movies. And that's fake whinnies. There's fake whinnies all the time. The horse's mouth is not even open and you hear a whinny. It just drives horse people insane. If we see...
When horses gallop, they don't whinny. And when they're pulled up abruptly in a whoa, they don't whinny. So
the drives whinnies. Us insane, fake whinnies. As a matter of fact, you if know, we start watching a show that there's a fake whinny in the first 10 minutes, we're out. We're not watching
that. You know, the sound engineer's like, no, put it in. We got to keep our job security.
That's right. And it's like, they see a horse, they have to do it. They just have to do it.
But that's so prevalent, and I'm sure you've discussed this, is that non-horse people, when they don't have that behavior, they're like, oh, something's wrong with the horse.
It's not, you know,
between that and laying down in the field, I'm sure that there's been so many calls and talks about that of, oh, the horse is dead and they're not whinnying. Yep. One of the two. Come on.
Happens all the time. Jamie, you have the last one he posted.
Well, you said any wild story / experience that people find hard to believe that really happened to you. I mean, just listen to this podcast Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I always have something ridiculous. I mean, I don't even know where to start with that. It's just a card catalog of ridiculous stuff. And that's why I have a job.
We have a name for those girls that have that problem. It's that girl. So we do that girl segments, because even us guys, we're that girl at some point.
Yeah, I'm always that girl. Oh, she's there.
Yep, that girl. The one that, you know, horse jumps out of the ring on the horse show or gets loose and runs around the parking lot, all of those things. So that girl moments have become a thing on the show here.
I love it.
We do whole segments on that. Well, I don't know if we helped at all. But if you need any help on the horse husband front, I've been one for 30 years. My title is America's Horse Husband. So give me a call and we can chat about it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all the help and that, you know, and just the equine community of the thing that I think has been the best of, you know, outside of both of you two, which had been awesome and friendly. Thank you. So many people just, hey, how can I help? What do you need to know? What do you need to do? Just exactly what you hope are the kind of people taking care of horses. So, you know, there's an old quote that if you love and you're good and kind to animals, then you're typically a good and kind person. And I've never seen that been proven wrong.
Unless they disagree with you on something that you posted on Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely.
All bets are off.
Well, she pees in the stall. That never happens.
Robert, where can people find your books?
You can find it on Barnes & Noble or Amazon. It's probably the easiest. My latest is just released, Lick the Spoon. And it's a short, clean, wholesome collection, more appropriate for adults just because they can relate to it. But there's no cuss words. There's no adult stories or the most PG-13 thing is that I make a comment in there that no one wants to hear the backstory of hot dogs or strippers of how they got there. So just a random thought.
Okay, that caught me off guard.
What do hot dogs and strippers have in common? Nobody wants the backstory. Oh my God, that is fantastic.
I love that one. I'll put links in also in our Amazon store to your books, especially Lick the Spoon and Bitches Love Cheddar Biscuits. So
sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more featuring top experts including 5-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, 5-time Olympic show jumper Ann Krasinski, Olympic eventer and silver medalist William Fox Pitt, and more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit EquestrianPlusPLUS.com to subscribe.
Well, I put a new game together today, Jamie, and Jamie doesn't even know what this game is at all. But
I'm so excited.
She loves when I do this to her. And we have a special guest joining us today. Auditor Mel from Ohio is here. Hey, Mel.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us to play a game today. This is not trivia. This is not trivia like we usually do. This is something completely different. So we come up with obviously Jamie does weird news, and we cover some weird news in the horse world too. So I have what I'm calling the horse headlines game. So you're going to play against each other, and what I have is a number of horse headlines. I'm going to read two headlines to you in each round, and you have to decide which one is true and which one I made up. Okay, you got it?
No pressure, no pressure.
Got it.
And some of these we've covered on the show, so we're going to see how much Jamie was paying attention. And I'm guessing not a lot. So, are you guys ready?
Ready.
Yeah.
Right answers, yeah. You'll hear this. Wrong answers, you'll hear that. So, that's your right and wrong answer buzzer. And now, you guys each get to guess on each round, and whoever gets the most right wins. And you win $1 million sent to you by Jamie this time.
You're going to mail a check for us? No?
I thought it was coming from Ashley this time.
Oh, yeah. Ashley's paying you. That's right.
There you go.
All right. So which one is true and which one is false? Horse walks into British pub, orders a pint. Or psychic horse predicts next week's lottery numbers.
Who is this for?
This is for both of you. We'll start with our guest, Mel. Which one do you think is right?
I think the British pub.
That you think that's the correct one. Okay. Jamie, which one?
No, I'm going to go with the lottery numbers.
Well, I would say that Mel is right. It was horse walks into a British pub, orders a pint. That was
How did it order a pint? That's ridiculous.
All I'm saying is these were the actual headlines and news stories. I'm not saying how ridiculous the actual story is. These were just the headlines. So Mel takes an early lead. Good job, Mel. All right, next one. Depressed horse gets support goat, or horse will only listen to country music, goes crazy when rock is played.
I'm going to go the first one.
Depressed horse gets support goat?
I'm going with the country music.
Well, I would say Jamie is right this time. That is a story we covered before, Jamie, by the way.
Oh, I don't remember covering it, but I do remember reading it. Yeah, no, don't give me any credit, Mel.
All right, we are tied 1-1. Horse stuck in bathtub, rescued by firefighters.
That sounds legit.
Miniature horse spotted walking down Holiday Inn hallway.
That also sounds legit.
And both of those sound like they could come from Florida.
Yeah.
Mel, you want to guess first?
I'm going with the bathtub.
I'll go with the other one just to keep it fair.
Okay. Mel is correct. That's right. The bathtub one was correct. And you're right, Jamie. If it was a horse stuck anywhere and rescued by firefighters, it's probably a true story because we've had so many of them. Although it does sound like the miniature horse walking down the hallway could be right, too.
Yeah, but not a Holiday Inn. It's going to be something different.
Well,
so
I picked Holiday
Inn.
It's
going to be a quality inn.
Yes.
Quality. I was going to pick Motel 6, but they don't have hallways. So that's why I picked Holiday Inn. I don't know if they have hallways either, to be honest. All right, Mel's leading 2-1. All right, next one. A New York horse is learning to use a toilet, or race halted after seagull lands on starting gate.
Race.
Okay, I'll go with the other one.
You know, you don't have to go with the other one if you don't want to.
Right.
I want to. Right. I don't remember what it was. I don't remember what you said, but I'm going to go with that one to be contrarian.
Well, just so I can use this other buzzer I have, Jamie is incorrect. No, I was wrong. It's Dang! Mel that's incorrect. The incorrect Glenn one was the race halted as a seagull lands on the starting gate. Although that might have happened at some point. But
they just shoot that thing off there. Come on.
The New York horse learning to use a toilet is correct. I feel like we covered that
story.
We
need to get that trainer on so that we can all utilize that training.
That's
true. I think you're right on, Mel. Yes.
All right. So that means that it's tied up again, 2-2. Horse rescued from the roof, or man tries to pay parking ticket with a $50 gift card to the feed store.
I mean, knowing what I know about horse rescue, that one could be possible. It could be on a roof.
Okay.
Horses just trying to kill themselves. It's fine.
Yeah, but knowing what I know about people, I could definitely... I got to go with the feed store.
Okay, and Jamie, you're going with the rescued on the roof?
Yes.
Okay, well, Jamie is correct that time.
Yay!
We covered that story too, Jamie.
You can't surprise me with horse rescues. I mean, I feel like we've seen it all.
Yes.
All.
That is true. All right, next one. Therapy horse refuses to work until given a peppermint treat, or horse arrested for drunk driving in Wisconsin. Mel?
Mel, let me leave it to you. You go.
You live close to Wisconsin, closer than we do, so...
I gotta go with the DUI.
Driving.
Yeah.
So it'd be an RUI, right?
Was there a buggy involved?
It was the same horse that was ordering the beers in the pub, and then he got
busted.
An international
star.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with peppermint. Come on.
And Mel is correct. Horse arrested for drunk driving in Wisconsin. Therapy horse, I made that one up. Although there's probably a lot of therapy horses that won't work without a treat. I don't know.
I'm like, I don't work without a treat. So,
so we're tied again. You guys are neck and neck here. This is tough because all of these could be an actual headline of an article. Veterinarian prescribes noise-canceling headphones for anxious stallion. or horse runs amok in casino causes thousands in damage.
Casino.
I got to go with the casino too.
You're both.
I just want it to be true.
You're both correct. I didn't look where the casino was, but I'm guessing Oklahoma. That would be my guess.
I mean, I've got one down the street. I could call them.
Why did you go with casino on that one, Jamie?
Because a veterinarian would not prescribe noise canceling headphones. I can't even say it.
City council requires horse statue male parts to be concealed.
Oh, that's funny.
Or woman rescued after being locked in the stable by a horse. That's a tough one, I think.
I'd go with the second one because that sounds like something that Butters would do.
Lock you in the stables.
Just get
and run
here.
Away.
I'm going to go with the first one.
The concealed parts. You're going with that
yes.
one? All right. Jamie is correct.
Oh, I was hoping it'd be the other one.
That one was pretty believable, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty clever on some of these
things.
Were
fake you doing ones. This at 3 o'clock in the morning, Glenn?
No, I was doing it at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's about the same time.
So Mel had that one. 5-4. Okay. Escape horse joins tour group for stroll down Main Street, or loose horse causes chaos at outdoor concert.
First one.
Escape horse joins tour group for stroll down Main Street. That's one Jamie picked. Mel?
Chaos at the concert.
I have to give this one to Jamie. And we're tied up again. So this is the tiebreaker. One more. I thought that the loose horse causing chaos at the outdoor concert was pretty believable. This is the last one. Authorities suspect equine involvement in disappearance of 400 pounds of carrots. Horse crashes through second floor window.
Well, first of all, the horse that's going to crash through the second floor window, if it went up into the window, then it's going to the Olympics. So let's go with the other one.
You're going with carrots?
Sure.
Mel?
I'm going with crashing through the window.
And Mel wins!
Hey!
Well, there you go. There's my new game.
But now I have more questions. Did it stick the landing? Did it go up or did it go down and out?
Do horses, are they like cats? Do they land on their feet?
I was going to do a study show today, but they all sucked. That's how I ended up with this game. But we have one thing in common between study show and this game is I did not look at the articles. I just looked at the headlines. So I have no answers for you at all. But I had fun coming up with the fake ones. I did have fun with that at 5 o'clock this morning.
I was going to say, you either did it at 5 a.m. or you did it at 11 a.m. last night after having a couple of drinks. So,
all right, we might play this one again. Maybe I'll do a holiday version of this one coming up. Oh, thank you, Mel, for playing. We appreciate it. And thank you
for
being an auditor.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, Mel.
Bye, Mel.
Have a great day, guys. Bye.
Well, we're glad that you joined us today. Again, we have a full week of programming for you, and we hope that you join us the rest of the week. We have Endurance tomorrow, the RHA on Thursday, and Weird News. Where can they send Weird News?
Weird News at horseradionetwork.com.
You can send your bad ads for Friday to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Well, I have a quote to end today's show. I saw this on Facebook this morning. One of my Facebook friends posted this. If your husband is mad at you, buy a horse. He was mad anyway. Now you have a horse.
I love that one.
I knew you would. I knew that would be your favorite.
Spayed, neutered, geld, everybody.